April 13th, 2023, I got shot. And I was in real bad shape, and Pastor Nick came and visited me. He brought me a new Bible, and in the Bible it had these index cards, and they were all notes from all the guys in Connection Group that really made me feel like I belonged, you know, to the church.
Last year, I lost my husband that I love. It is not an easy road for me. My heart broke into pieces. There is no words can describe how I felt. Connection Group helped me to go through my trials and build my faith deeper, closer to Jesus.
In the past year, I walked into some of the toughest seasons, the most uncertain seasons and storms of my life, and just being surrounded by the other women in Bridge City just reminded me of God's love and comfort, and being able to feel that through their presence.
I went out to California, Southern California, for a job. I started feeling weird, like pains and aches. I called my wife and was telling her, and she was telling me that I was basically describing a heart attack. The thing that really struck me was the amount of people, first of all, that changed their whole world around for me, that were able to watch our family, our sons and daughter, that were taking care of things for us while I was gone, while my wife was out there with me. The incredible amount of people that said they were praying for me.
I was in a place of really deep isolation, looking back on it now and understanding that it was rooted in rejection, worthlessness, and even fear. I started attending Sunday services less and less, and that was my goal.
We were struggling emotionally and spiritually, so my wife and I attended a worship prophetic night. We went up and got prayer from two people from our own Brighton Heights campus. God gave us the word that we needed to hear, and He met us. We decided it was time to start saying yes, yes to everything. Yes to connection groups, yes to worship nights, yes to serving, and yes to getting involved. This has radically changed our lives. Our marriage is stronger, our family seeks after God together, and we overall just have a spiritual guidance that has really helped us.
I attended my first Victory and Freedom. I was looking for more fellowship, and that's one thing I found was fellowship with other men in a church. And it allowed me to address things that were separating me from God and separating me from my goals in my journey in faith.
Before I even joined the church, I was part of a connection group that I was invited to. As an introvert, sometimes it's hard for me to get started and to participate. But when I joined a group, I felt really safe. I felt like I could be myself, I could let my guard down and share things that I might not normally share.
A lot has transformed in my life. We met with Pastor Gary prior to us getting married quite a few times, and he encouraged us that we should make a covenant with each other. Hodge and I took a vow with each other and we got married.
I went on the Pittsburgh mission trip in 2023. During the trip, I not only grew my relationship with people, but I also grew my relationship with God. One of my favorite parts was when I would pray for somebody and I'd close my eyes, and right when I'd look up, I'd see them crying and smiling at the same time. And it made me so happy to know that God touched them and that God was with me all along.
I have grown in my faith so much since attending here. I have become stronger in my spiritual giftings, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that this church gives to become equipped and to grow in my walk with Jesus.
So in the past year, I went from sliding into the back, sitting by myself, to really just joining the body and joining leadership opportunities. I've been told plenty of times how important it is to just show up and let God take care of the rest. And for as many times as I've put that to the test, He's never failed.
One of the first things that I did when I got back was to go to the outdoor experience at the amphitheater in Monroeville. And, you know, just the amount of people that I hadn't seen for so long coming up to me and hugging me and telling me that they were praying for me. And, you know, it was overwhelming.
I decided to get baptized because I always knew Jesus as my Savior, but I never made the commitment of making him Lord of my life.
Bridge City Church really encouraged us to take our next steps in our faith by us getting baptized together at the outdoor worship experience.
I decided to get baptized at the New Year's Eve worship experience because of the transformation that God has had in my life, as well as the people He's put around me. From the support that I receive, the love that I receive, to just the guidance and the knowledge, I can't thank Him enough for everything that He's done so far in my life.
I got baptized on New Year's Eve. When I came out of the water, literally felt like a brand new person.
God provided me the help that I need, and I found that here in our church, Bridge City Church.
How many of y'all appreciative of that? Come on. Wow. And well, that never gets old, right? Come on, that never gets old, hearing those stories. God's still doing something really cool. Come on, you realize that? Come on, so cool. So here we are, Vision Sunday. And like, what's Vision Sunday all about? Like, okay, it's like once a year, give this papal decree of like the vision, who we are, what we are. I don't know, how many of you ever been to the eye doctor? How many of you are an eye doctor? I know, I see that hand. Come on, yeah. And when you're there, they do something. They put up a chart, and then it's always like better, worse, right? And like you got to go through this series like to figure out like what's better, what's worse. But once a year, you got to check your vision to make sure it's okay. You got to really go through this process of like, hey, we need a checkup. So this is that checkup. Are we doing better or worse? Better or worse? I was playing tennis recently. And because I was playing with some guys that were a lot younger and a lot faster, they hit the ball like right at me, which is like the worst thing that could happen to me. And I of course missed the ball, and I took one shot to the face, like right in my so my glasses got all crooked, and my right eye was like really blurry. And of course everybody ran over and said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I did what any man in this room would do. Of course I'm okay. Yeah, right? Come on. Yeah, of course I'm okay. Although I was a little fuzzy and my glasses were off, but I was like, I got this. Okay, I got this. And so what I needed to do is I needed to go through a process where I needed to straighten out my glasses, make sure everything was even, make sure I could see. And it was a little bit of time. Things cleared up and I could play again. See, that's what Vision Sunday is all about. Are we doing better or worse? What are we doing here? How are we doing it? So what do we want to evaluate? Here at Bridge City Church, this is why we exist. We exist so that as many people as possible, how many people? As many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if we say that's why we exist, that's what we should be judged according to, right? Now, I don't know if you know this, like nobody goes like to Chick-fil-A and complains about the cheeseburgers. I'm letting that sink in, okay? It's like, you know, man, some of you are saying, what Chick-fil-A sells cheeseburgers? Come on, like, because you don't, because they don't do that, right? But you do judge them according to their, you're tracking, come on. You're tracking now, yeah. Because that's what they say they do. So we get judged according to what we say we're going to do, not same things we don't do. So we exist so as many people as possible, right? We'll begin a relationship. So that's what we judge to, according to. So how do we do this? How do we accomplish this? We do this through a series of ways. We gather to grow. We give and we go to make disciples all for the glory of God. And so we judge ourselves according to gathering people into the family of God, growing, yeah, growing and giving of ourselves, and then going into our world to make a difference. The church is the one place on the planet, the one organization that exists solely for its non-members. Yeah, I want you to catch that. We exist for something greater than ourselves. And that's what's so important here. We gotta catch that. And what we were seeing on the video was stories about people, because we realize that a good church is not based on superstars on the platform, but superstars and people that have been trained and equipped to do the work of the ministry and experience God on a day-by-day basis. Isn't that what we just saw? we just saw that and we heard that, and that's the deal. That's what we're looking at here. And so I want to cover just a few things here today. And first of all, I want to say that in the mail, you should have received your very own, and for those of you that are over 50, you know this is called a newspaper. Yeah, those of you under 50, this is what we used to deliver, believe it or not, door to door. Yeah, how many of y'all were paper boys or paper girls back in the day? Come on, I see those hands. Yeah, good deal. Come on, yeah. And I was, and so we delivered papers, right? And so this is a paper, and you should have got one. Now, if you did not receive one in the mail, we want to give you one for free. And it's our annual report. And you say, why would you give your annual report just to anybody? Because we're bragging about how great God is. God has really done really huge things, and we want to brag on him, and we're not afraid to brag on him and say, because we have nothing to hide. Our integrity and character stands for itself. We have nothing to hide. Why wouldn't we want to brag on God? And so if you didn't get one, you can get one on the way out. One of the handsome men standing at attention in the back. Yeah, they look good. I mean, I'm telling you what, come on. Yeah, they're going to hand you one, and they'll give you one. There's stories in here, and there's a story in here from a couple. They're actually serving in kids' ministry in the back. Matt and Alexa, I'm not bragging, but I got their autographs on their picture this morning. Come on. I went and I got their autograph. I said, give me your autograph, and they did. They signed their picture. So there's like really cool stories in here. And so I just want to highlight a few things. And then after I highlight a few things, I'm going to share some word with you. And then Pastor Eric's going to get up, and he's going to give some specific instructions. So we got a lot for you. Are you ready here? You sure you're ready? Come on. Here we go. Yeah, we got lots of things. But last year, see, we are one church in four locations. So all together in all four locations, we're one church. We have one bank account, one direction, one leadership team here. We had a really good year with our tithes and offerings. And there's the number up there. The most important thing I want to say is that it's a 12.71% increase. Are we bragging about how much money we have? No, because we're bragging on the stories that we're told, because every number represents a name. And every statistic is a story of a life that's been changed. And so you can see the numbers there, and we're just so thankful of what God has provided here. But more importantly than that, we have some numbers of people who, what we call crossed the bridge, and became followers of Jesus. And in 2022, you see the numbers there, it was 73, but last year we've seen an increase, a significant increase in the amount of people that began a relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of y'all think that? I think that's pretty cool. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's what we're bragging about. That's what we're so excited about. I think that's really cool. I want to be a part of that. How about you? Yeah. And then baptisms. A lot of people mentioned baptisms here. And in the previous year, 2022, we had 33. And in 2023, is 66. How many of y'all can do a little bit of addition there? Come on, yeah. And so baptism is people that took their next step with God and want to identify with Jesus Christ as their follower. Okay, and I think that's really, really significant there. That's huge here. Well, let's look at another one here. How much money did we give away to missions? We gave away $240,000 to missions last year. That means gave it away. I mean, I think that's what we want to celebrate, right? Because what did that money do? That money is providing an education. We are supporting actually two schools now in Liberia, West Africa. Kids that would never have an education are now getting an education because of your giving. Matter of fact, the school that we put in Bami County is the number one school in Bami County in Liberia. It's the best education. It's crazy good. But it's also talking about Jesus. Who's doing that? You're doing that. And we planted actually schools for pastors in a couple countries so that pastors are being trained and more churches are being established and equipped. And so you're doing all that in the midst of all this. And so that's really, really a huge number, right? Yeah, that's big. That's really huge. Short-term missions trips. Last year, we saw 34 people go on a short-term missions trip, and 113 people, you heard it referenced in those stories, what we call our Pittsburgh missions trip, which is 3 days. We do all kinds of things all through Pittsburgh, supporting people and helping people, and right here in Murrysville, and every campus does it, and we're going to do it next year. And I'm going to tell you this. We send 34 people outside of, like, kind of our church mission. This next year, we're believing for over 60 people to go on short-term missions. And so we're looking for a few brave men and women right here. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And what I mean by that is we believe that as we go on a short-term mission trip, we believe that God uses everyday ordinary people to go into their world, whether it's Guatemala, Honduras, Liberia, Buffalo, anywhere like that, and we can make a difference for Jesus, okay? And if you're interested in making a difference, and you say, you know what, God, why not me? Why not now? Why not here? We want to invite you to go. Come on, we got to throw off the constraints and restraints of, oh, I got reasons. You're always going to have a reason not to. But we got a big reason why we can and why we should. His name is Jesus. And that's what we want to see increase there. And then we also got this One Vision campaign going on. And One Vision is all about raising money for facilities and helping all of our facilities, four of them, get better. And right here, there's been a tremendous amount of work done on this facility. New kids area. How many of y'all like the new cafe? Come on. New student ministry area. All this has been done. But we have not touched the One campaign for our future. We've done that because of your faithful giving. No, I want to make that clear. We didn't touch that for here. But what we're getting ready to do, but Brighton Heights has gotten a lot of updates to their facility upstairs and downstairs with kids and North Braddock. But actually, just this morning, I confirmed that we're at the point in how much money we've been raised. The One Vision is over and above your regular tithes and offerings. People have been given sacrificially and generously and doing great with this. We're ready to start looking for land or a building for our White Oak campus. In our North Braddock facility, we're looking at doing a major footprint overhaul there so that we have a great space for student and kids ministry. How many of y'all think that's something good to sacrifice for? Yeah. And so I want to invite you to participate. A couple other things this year, connection groups. And you heard about the great stories. I mentioned Matt and Alexa. They're serving in kids ministry. But also in the video was somebody from our campus. Mark, could you just stand up real quick, wave to everybody. Mark was in that video as well, and it's so good to see you and your family here. So, so awesome. Thanks for sharing the way you did, and it's so good that you're healthy and on a good road of recovery, and so awesome and so great that you're a part here. And we're going to continue to get better. This last year, two more things real quick, is our student ministry. Two of our campuses basically didn't have any student ministry. And that was unacceptable. We were like, well, this is unacceptable. We can't have that. And so we are poised just now to actually start. We have the people to launch a student ministry, 6th through 12th grade, in those two locations. See, we're making progress. See, it's about making progress. And we're getting better at our student or kids ministry even here, and students, and just so awesome about all that God is doing. How many of y'all think those things are really, really good and we should celebrate those? Come on, you with me? Yeah, and so I just want to just say thank you for everything you do on a regular basis. Thank you for your sacrificing, for your giving, your serving. And thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you once again. Hey, I'm going to switch gears, and we're going to jump into a text in the Bible about Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. And I'm just going to go through some things to feed you the Word of God and help you this morning, see what season we are in as a church and what we're doing here. So in Matthew chapter 9, one of my favorite things to teach from here, and I just can't get this out of my heart. I can't get this out of my head. Everything I do, I just keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And it's like, I want to be following Jesus like that. Here we go. Jesus traveled through all the towns. He went through like places like Murrysville, Monroeville, Penn Township, Export, Delmont, Greensburg. And where do you live? Just yell it out. Yeah, wherever, yeah. So he went through all these places and teaching in the synagogues, and he announced the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. So this is the deal. Jesus went through, he was doing three things. Three things here. He was teaching, He was preaching. So he taught in the synagogues. He preached. He declared the word of God. He was outside kind of the synagogue saying, hey, the good news about Jesus Christ, right? And then he healed people. And healing is a pretty big deal. How many, you don't really realize until you come to Jesus how like kind of sometimes screwed up we are. Come on, am I right? And we all need healed. Yeah, we do need healed. We need a significant healing here. And I need a healing from tape. Come on. And so those are the three things he did. And so I'm just here to tell you today that as a church going forward, what's the vision forward? Better or worse? We're going to get better at these three things. We're going to get better at these three things. We're going to get better at teaching and partying the word of God in groups. We believe in groups. And I just love the group of guys that I meet with. We met here yesterday at 6 a.m. in the morning and just had great conversation, great connection. And we're going to get better at declaring the good news, but we're going to get better at healing and restoring lives, restored to what God created them to be. And so Jesus here, and Jesus, look what he's doing here. And he's traveling, but in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion because they were confused and helpless and harassed. And when he saw, there was an urgency that was on Jesus. This is Jesus, the creator of the universe. And I'm going to use a term, it's almost as if he's overwhelmed. Because he saw people. He looked at them. He looked upon them, experienced, he discerned, he was aware. And something changed inside of him when he did this. There was an urgency attached to this. When he saw. Now the problem is most of us in Jesus' church are very nearsighted. We see what's right in front of us. And you can tell you're nearsighted by what you pray for. How far away you pray from yourself, it determines how nearsighted you are. When you're only nearsighted and all you can see is you, you only ask God for things about you. But when we begin to see things far away, we begin to see a bigger picture. We begin to pray. We begin to get concerned about things beyond us. I think that's called maturity. How about you? How many of you know that maturity is more than just getting old? Parents, you got to help me here. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, see, some people confuse those two things. They confuse like getting old with maturity, and that's not true. Maturity is when you get your eyes off you and you think about something bigger. And you see something. And it doesn't mean you don't have problems or you don't have stuff going on. It just means you see other things. We have a different set of values. That's what we do here. And so we look at people, and Jesus sees only two types of people. We see people black, white, old, young, male, female. We see all these things. Jesus sees only two kinds of people. He sees people I'm going to use the word lost. I know that's a rough word, but Jesus used it. If Jesus used it, I think it's an okay word. Is that okay? Lost and found. He sees heaven-bound, hell-bound. That's what he sees, right? Yeah, he sees dead and alive. And so I just want to see people the way Jesus sees them. And so he sees these people and the problem is what keeps us from seeing people is the same thing that affected me when I got hit in the face with the ball. We take shots to the face. Sometimes life gives us shots to the face. And it causes us to lose our vision to see. And what I believe God's asking us to do is once again look with compassion and vision. And because we will never care about what we can't see. I read this statistic recently, and it is 62% of the population in the United States of America are eligible to give blood, but only 3% do. So what are some of the reasons somebody wouldn't give blood? Come on, help me out. What's some of the reasons? How about needles? I'm sorry. I'll just start with... I mean, somebody coming at you with a needle is never pleasant, right? Yeah, you go through a little bit of uncomfortable, a little bit of awkward. How about it takes time? You got to schedule it. You got to make time. How about somebody else will do it? How about there's not really a need? Now, there's a great statistic, right? 62%. Now, how many of you are going to rush home and get blood this afternoon? So I'm going to get blood, you know? Yeah, some of you think, that's what my boss is asking me for, blood. Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, let me help you. Let me help you see. Mary, I need you for a second here. She doesn't know what I'm going to do, so just stand right here, and look at the people. Everybody say, hi, Mary. And Mary's a really nice person. And I'm not confessing anything negative of your life here, okay? If I did that, my wife Natalie would get me, okay? But what if I told you right now that Mary needed blood? And the condition she had was solvable and healable, but she needed you to give blood. What if I told you that you have what could help her get better, but it's going to be a little awkward, there's going to be a little needle, you're going to have to get on your schedule, but you're going to help Mary get better. Because if she doesn't get blood, it's over. How many of you are willing to find out, can you give blood for Mary? Raise your hand. They really love you. Did you see that? No, keep up your hands. Okay, look at it. No, look at that. Look at everybody. Look at everybody standing there. Yeah. Some people, a lot of them know you. A lot of them don't. Yeah. And how did that make you feel? Emotional, yeah. Because why? They were just willing to go through a little bit of awkward, a little bit of pain. And they were willing to give you something that you just really need, and it was helpful. See, that's what happens in our lives. We just fail to see people. And we think somebody else will do it. It's a little awkward, and it's not on our schedule. But when we're willing to help people that are close to us, that's what this is like. Let's give Mary a great big hand. Thanks so much. Yeah, so Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved deeply within. He was moved deeply and strongly with emotion, and that because they were confused and harassed. Confused and harassed. You know what this means? This means skinned alive. There are people around you that have been skinned alive. Now, literally, it means skin pelt. It means ripped alive, open alive. That's what this means. There's people in your circle, right where you live, right where you work, right in your family, that have been skinned alive. And then there's other people that have been just thrown about. If there was ever verses that described our country and our culture right now, this is it. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, this is it. And so what we got to do is we have to go back and say, God, you have an urgency and you have a compassion that we need. So we're in a season of urgency and compassion. Are you with me? Okay, real quick, let's just go to the rest of these verses, 37, 38. So Jesus, this is what he did. In 37, 38, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, the workers are few. Yeah, so pray the Lord of the harvest who is in charge and ask him literally to throw you into the harvest. That's really what it means. It means throw you in. That means God wants to throw you in to the people around you. And so on your seat, everybody on your seat, you might be sitting on them, you might have moved them over. Everybody has an invest and invite card. And invest and invite. Pastor Eric's going to tell you what to do with this in just a little bit. But what we're going to do, I already told the guys in my small group, my connection group, this is what we're going to do next week. We're going to be praying for people that we want to invite to come here in the month of March. Because in the month of March, moving up to Easter is a really huge, huge deal. Easter's a huge deal, and it's all about Jesus, and now it's all about him. Are you with me? Amen. Yeah, and so we want as many people as possible to begin a relationship, and then I want your lives to be so inconvenienced. Welcome to Vision Sunday, yeah. And I want us to all become harvest workers. Why? Because when you serve in Jesus' church, you're not an answer to my prayer. You're an answer to Jesus' prayer. How many of y'all would like to be an answer to Jesus' prayer? When you fill out that card and you take it, you're an answer to Jesus' prayer. So the last couple verses here, Matthew 10:1. So Jesus called his disciples together and he gave them authority. He gave them delegated power. And this is what it was to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. That word heal is the same word that Jesus was doing earlier. So the same deal that he was doing, he now gives to you and me. Did you catch that? That's how much he trusts you. He trusts you that much that the same healing that Jesus was doing, he says, I want to give you. And so he says, I'm going to give you something to do here. And it's going to be, oh, so, so awesome. And the last verse I'm going to share here is verse 5. So Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these what? With these instructions. And so there's instructions. Why do we teach in church? And why do we believe in membership? And why do we have groups? And why do we do all this? Because we believe with these instructions we can make a difference. You know what? None of us by ourselves can change the whole world. Am I right? But we can do something with our part of it. And what I'm asking us to do is lift up our eyes off ourselves and see vision and see our giving and see what we do and see our serving through a whole different set of eyes. Better, worse. Better, worse. We're doing better, but I don't want to rest on yesteryear and yesterday. I want to get better in this next year. So we're going to get better at teaching. We're going to get better at preaching. We're going to get better at healing. And we're going to get better at listening to instructions. Y'all with me? How many of y'all like Vision Sunday so far? Come on, very good. Is that clear? Is that good? Hey, I get the opportunity now to toss it over to Pastor Eric, the campus pastor here. He and Rachel are doing an awesome, over-the-top job. And I'm just so thankful to serve with them and for them. And I know that they're on baby watch. Yeah, they're on baby watch. Like they thought it might have been last night. And it was like, no, you got to wait till after church tomorrow. Come on. This baby needs to have the priorities in order. Yeah, you with me? Come on. And so just so thankful for you and Rachel and your family. You guys are doing great, great work. So awesome. Hey, take it away.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rick. So as Pastor Rick mentioned, I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here. So excited to be part of Vision Sunday with all of you. These specific instructions, and I'm going to share some exciting things that have taken place, also some things that we're going to be doing moving forward. But I wanted to share, as we continue with Matthew 10, there in verse 8, these specific instructions Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure leprosy, cast out demons. He's like, do everything I've already been doing. Then he says, give as freely as you have received. Give as freely as you have received. Have you received something from God at any point in your life? Have you received freedom? Have you received salvation? Have you received healing? Have you received anything good from God? I say, then it's to give freely as much as we have been given. And everything I share will really be pulling from this one verse as we give as freely as we've been given. So many amazing things, as you can read in the annual report, and we just heard from Pastor Rick, that took place over 2023. Right? I love boasting about God. You know, the Apostle Paul said, may I boast about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That always boasting and bragging about what God has done. This isn't about how great Pastor Rick is, as great as he is. This isn't as about how great I am or any of the campus pastors. This is about how great God is. Everything we share today and even moving forward, it's all about bragging about how good our God really is. And all the things that happened this past year is in part because of what you've contributed. How you've served, how you've given, how you've invested in the kingdom of God. For those of you who've been a part over this past year, I want to say thank you. You know, I share with the kids ministry, they don't always realize the impact they have until kids are singing worship songs on Wednesday, until they're talking about Jesus at home, or when a parent receives salvation because they're sitting in this room undistracted by their kids. That's a significant impact that the guys in the parking lot and the usher team and every aspect of serving, we get to be a part of what God is doing through every single story, every person whose life is changed and transformed. And speaking of that, we had, like as Pastor Rick mentioned, 42 salvations just here in Murraysville in 2023. That's people moving from death to life. 42 people, that's the most we've ever seen at this campus, and we're part of the whole. You know, for those of you who might be catching it, we're one campus of four, plus the online worship times that we have, that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. But God is doing something mighty right here in Murraysville. As he mentioned, all the renovations that have taken place this past about 18 months. We got a lot of new space, the women's restroom. Ladies, if you remember 2 years ago what it was like, I know that was a big deal for the women, especially the men. You're like, I don't know. Maybe you've heard. But, you know, the kids ministry wing, prioritizing kids, the student ministry room, the cafe, all of this is done from savings and stewarding what God has given us. You know, thank God that we have enough resources to, and doing it very diligently in stewarding what he's given us by doing a lot of the work in-house. You know, a lot of guys stepped up and helped make it happen. But I want to recognize what we call our team leaders. It's really our diaconate. A lot of churches call it their deacons or deacon board. These are really the people who are leading teams within our church. We actually have several who have been doing it for a long time. We have several new leaders that I want to recognize and make sure you're aware of it, and then give you opportunities to see other places we are looking for more leaders. So the first list of leaders we have, these are leaders who've already been in position, doing it very well. Campus worship leader, Rachel Bimber, my wife. If you could just stand. And we can give her a hand. And stay standing. I should have put you last because you're very pregnant, but... Jared and Mary Keene lead our Bridge City Students Ministry, impacting the 6th through 12th grade. Jared, they also oversee the response team. That's anybody who responds to the gospel, they follow up with them. Hospitality, that's feeding the A team. So anybody who serves, they get fed on Sunday mornings, as well as coffees. Bob and Suzanne. Bob's here. I know Suzanne's out today. Marie Matarazzo, if you could stand. Missions coordinator. She helps oversee all missions for the campus, resourcing, and also on our Bridge City missions team. These are new leaders, so thank you. You guys could all be seated. Just it's going to be a little while. But Pearl Kobalski, if you could stand. Pearl has already been serving in kids' ministry. She's a school nurse. She has such a passion for the next generation and kids, the way she prays for them. She actually puts skin in the game, literally, and sometimes with some of the kids. But she is stepping into the Bridge City Kids Coordinator, overseeing all the kids' ministry, fifth grade and under, here at Murraysville. But then also, Lindsay Faith is leading the kindergarten through fifth grade. Lindsay. And Bobby Iacovelli, as well, is taking on the 4 and under age group. So the three of them are working as a team to lead the next generation from fifth grade and under until they pass them off to Jared and Mary with the students. And then they get into groups as they become adults and more apart. So thank you so much. Also, usher coordinator, leading all the stoic men in black in the back, is Neil. He's standing off to your left there. Facilities coordinator is Jack. He's on the right. Jack Stavros, overseeing opening, closing the facility. And then our connection point coordinator is Alexa. There she is, Ventrice. Alexa's in the back here. These are all new leaders stepping into leadership, stepping into leading teams, caring for people, caring for team members. So we just want to say thank you so much for stepping up and stepping in this next season. Let's give them one more hand. You guys can be seated. Well, we have some opportunities for you if you feel called to more. Maybe you're already serving on a team or two, and you say, maybe there's more that God has for you. These are opportunities that we're going to present to you. If there's any one of these that stirs your heart, say, maybe that could be me. And I'll be honest, there's times a lot of people say, I never thought I could lead something. But then they say yes if God speaks it. And part of this, there's a process, a training, equipping, a conversation. But I want to list some of these out for you. Campus admin, this is a part-time paid position, helping with all the administrative things in the church, really working closely with me as campus pastor. My wife is currently doing that, but she's also doing a lot of other things, as you're about to hear as well as leading worship, women's ministry, Victory and Freedom. But there's an opening for that we want to help her be able to pass that on to somebody else that it's called, that's gifted, that has the right anointing from God to really step into that position. Welcome team coordinator. They're leading the team that's greeting at the door. So as you walk in, there's people that hold the door and smile and welcome you every Sunday. We want to welcome team coordinator, somebody to lead that team. My wife is also doing that currently. Events coordinator, any events that take place here, not just on Sunday, but typically throughout the week or different times throughout the year, we want to have an events coordinator who's just in charge of making sure everything's done with excellence and done well. Again, my wife is often the one doing that. So production coordinator, she's also overseeing that. That's somebody who helps with the production team in the back, the lighting, the media, and the sound. You don't have to know everything technical, but being able to lead that team is something that we have a great, great team of people in the production booth and growing that team, but looking for a coordinator to lead them. Next Steps, that's helping people move from guest to a fully functioning member of Bridge City Church. And there's a Next Steps process. There's learning about what membership means. I'm currently doing that. And again, wanting to share it and let somebody else be a part of leading a team. And that's then community connections. That's all of our outreach opportunities, connecting with the schools, with other organizations, with other churches, to really reach into the community and not just exist for our events or ourselves. A-team coordinator, that's helping people, again, move from guest to fully functioning member, but really anybody who joins a team, there's a process of joining that team. There's training, there's equipping, there's, you know, clearances for people serving in kids ministry. There's a process, and that A-team coordinator, really is my wife, is doing that as well. So please help us. No. I say it's like, we're always willing to just do whatever is necessary, but we also know there's gifts that you have. There's calling that you have. God's calling some of you, I believe, right now to say, I think I could do one of these. I think I could take on something more. I'm so thankful for everyone who's already leading and all the new leaders. But there's room for you to step in and lead a team, care for people. And why is that? Well, let's go to the why. Why does this matter? Well, as we move forward, this is what we're going to do. I believe that we have a mandate from God himself to reach the lost. I have no problem using that word because that's the word Jesus used, to seek and save those who are lost. There's a lot of people all around us in every one of our lives that don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know, have a personal relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for them. They're harried and harassed, distressed like sheep without a shepherd, as we just saw in Matthew 9. But there's a lot of people who are going through life, and the reality is they're bound for hell unless somebody, Jesus, and they accept him to be changed and transformed, to be heaven bound. That's a serious mandate. That's our mission statement as a church. We exist so that as many people as possible begin a relationship with God. That's why we're here. This isn't a social club. This isn't just for about us, but we are going to reach the lost and do everything short of sin to reach as many people as possible. What's a tangible way we can do that? That's these Invest and Invite cards. These are a tool, a resource, one way of many that we can begin to really be focused outside of ourselves, right? That's maturity, that's growing, that's getting a bigger picture of the world. And these Invest and Invite cards, there should be one in every seat. If you don't have one, grab one off another seat near you and pens. I want us to write down some names of people. I've had mine filled out for a while. I keep adding names as I meet new people and I add them to my list. These are people I'm praying for daily and I'm inviting to come to church. Maybe it's on a Sunday morning, but specifically for Easter, invite people to Easter. That's the easiest time of year to have people come, show up for church, and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But don't wait till the week of Easter. You can start inviting now, but let's be intentional on inviting and reaching people for Jesus. Why wouldn't you want to share the hope of Jesus with as many people as possible? So these cards, fill them out. Take them with you. I put mine in my Bible, so I read through them every day. I'm praying through them every day. I even took a picture in my phone so I could pull it up whenever I felt like, if I don't have my Bible with me. And pray and invite as many people as possible. And don't say no for people. I'm so thankful that Renee is the person who invited me to church the day I got saved, that she didn't say no for me. I'm so thankful that she invited me and didn't say no. And it just said, maybe he'll say yes. And I was a mess. I was at the lowest of low in my life when I got invited to church. Never say no for somebody. Whether they look like they're going to say no or they look like they got it all together, never say no for somebody. Let's invite as many people as possible. We want to reach as many as possible. Also pray, as it says in Matthew 9, Jesus said, pray for more laborers. Right, more people to go into the harvest field. And this isn't just for the leaders, right? There's some leadership opportunities, but every single one of us gets to serve. Every one of us gets to invest. Every one of us gets to be a part of what God is doing by serving, by giving, by using our time, our talent, and our treasure to invest in the kingdom of God. You know, moving from just being a spectator to being a worker is something I believe is what God wants every one of us to do. You know, there's seasons, there's times you receive, you need to get filled up, but then we got to move from just consuming to how am I going to be able to contribute? How much more can I contribute to serving on a team, being in a group, and not just going to receive something, but how can I give something more? I believe that's every single person. We have a calling from God to give of ourselves, to reach more people, to invest in the kingdom of God. And when you invest in the kingdom of God, I'm not talking just finances, but with our time, with our energy, with our time even outside the church, within the church, there is no, you never lose. You can invest in a lot of things, the stock market, business deals, and you can lose. But when you invest in the kingdom of God, you never lose. You either get a return now or you get one in heaven. But either way, you never lose. It's an eternal return on investment. But we're believing for souls, for more laborers, more workers who want to get involved, who want to serve, who want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer by saying yes to doing whatever he's called them to do. Third thing is we want to see more healing. You know, it ties right into what Pastor Rick just shared about healing, about people being transformed and set free, oftentimes from themselves. You know, we do a ministry in our church called Embrace Grace, reaching single pregnant women. And every week we're getting texts or phone calls and emails from these single women who just don't know what to do. Fatherlessness, that's such a problem in our country, and the stuff that these young girls just don't know their identity. They're finding it in a man. And we say, how do we help them? How can we reach more of them? How can we help them know their identity is not in a man, it's in Jesus Christ? And then we care for them, we support them, we watch their children, we resource them. Like, what better cause than the cause of Jesus to be involved in? It's not just Embrace Grace, but what's being taught at the schools and our young people, what they're being indoctrinated with that's so wrong and opposite of the word of God. I say, I don't get caught up in that. I say, well, okay, what did Jesus do? Right? Jesus didn't try to take down the Roman Empire. He just reached the next person and the next person and the next person. He discipled more people to go and reach more people. He went and prayed for more harvest laborers. He found more people who were willing to do their part. The reality is we're not going to change the whole world, but we can change people's world who are in our influence, who are in our circles, who are in our lives. We have that ability. We have that authority to reach more people, to get them connected to the healer, to the one who can heal them, the one who can set them free, the one who can truly help them walk in freedom and know their identity. So we're going to reach the lost. We're going to pray for more laborers. And for those of us who aren't serving, jump into serving. Jump into doing our part in whatever way that looks like for you and seeing people's lives changed and transformed. That's the business we're in. That's what you're a part of. That's what I'm inviting you to be a part of. You know, I have a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old, and as Pastor Rick mentioned, my wife is due any day now. We probably won't be here next week. She's due in a week and a half, but with our baby girl. And you know, I was reminded as I was preparing today and asking God, what do you want me to share? I believe he showed me his heart for the lost. And I imagine, what if one of my boys was missing? What if my 13-year-old or my 2-year-old was lost? Nothing else would matter as much as finding my lost boys. For those of you who had children, if one of your kids was lost, nothing else would matter except finding them. That your lost children would be found. I believe that's the heart of the Father. He cares the most about finding his lost children. Finding those that were far from him. Finding those that don't know the love of God. That don't know that they can be forgiven. They can be healed. They can be set free. They can walk in a new identity. They can spend eternity in heaven rather than separation from God in hell. That I believe that's what God is calling us and telling us and wanting to impart to us is his heart for his lost children. There's nothing more important than that. There's other things that are important, but nothing as important as that. And then after we find those children, we raise them, we disciple them, we teach them, we share with them, we help them grow so they can reach lost people and they can disciple more. But we have to start with the heart of the Father. I believe that's in the vision of what we're moving into this next year is even more of the heart of the Father, more for his lost children, more to see more harvest workers getting involved. And to be honest, to stop playing defense. Stop looking at the world, looking at what the government's doing, hoping that a certain person gets elected this year, and just say, you know what, I'm going to go on the offensive because Jesus didn't sit back and wait till everything was perfect, but he went to every town and every village he went to, and he declared the truth. He taught, he preached, and he healed everywhere he went. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go into the schools, and not with physical violence, but with spiritual authority. I'm taking authority over what's happening with our children. Take authority what's happening in our families. Take authority over the demonic influences in our world and speak truth in love. to have a compassion in a heart like God has, but an urgency to do something about it as well. That's the difference between good intentions and good convictions, is we're going to go do something about it. And I believe if you don't know exactly what to do, your next step could be going the next steps, becoming a part of Bridge City Church, becoming a part of a group, serving on a team. It might be one of those leadership opportunities, saying, Pastor Eric, how can I be a part? What do I need to do next? Have a conversation. Maybe it's start praying, filling out this list, and pray and invite as many people as possible. You know what these names represent to me? It's very much like Mary up here. These are real people. They need a blood transfusion, not a physical one, but a spiritual one. They need to move from themselves to having the blood of Jesus cover them and transform them and change them to give them eternal life. They need it, whether they recognize it or not, but let's show them and invite them in with joy, with love and compassion, and do it with an urgency. We're 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from Easter. I'm getting ahead of myself. 4 weeks away from Easter, you know, big day, big deal to invite as many people as possible. Will you be a part of that cause? The cause to reach the lost, the cause to step up and say, I'm going to be a worker for Jesus's church, for his kingdom, to reach as many people as possible. If so, would you please stand to your feet? If you say, I want to be a part of that cause, doesn't mean you're going to become a member of Bridge City. You just say, I want to be involved with that. That's a good cause. And I'm going to pray for you. Well, Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person here. God, that you would begin to move our hearts. God, not just our minds. God, not with all the tasks or the things that we think we have to do. But God, start with our hearts. Transform our hearts to be more like you. God, to have a heart for your lost children. To have a heart for those people who are hurried and harassed, distressed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, that we would become an answer to your prayer, to say yes to being a harvest worker. God, knowing that the people we reach by your spirit, by your power, God, are going to go then and reach other people. And God, that we would all do our part, not getting consumed with what the devil's doing, not getting consumed with what the government's doing, but God, that we would be consumed with what you are calling us to do, to go on to the offensive, to take back the ground that was stolen by the enemy, to take back lives of people, to help them be changed and transformed into your image. Father, impart your heart to each and every one of us. Give us your compassion for people, every single person. God, may we see people as lost or found, and God, do everything we can short of sin to reach the lost and disciple the found. Give us your heart, Father. I ask for you to impart your spirit into each and every one of us as we look ahead to this year being the best year ever, where we see the greatest harvest that we've ever seen, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, you could be seated. Like, you can give God a hand, because God is up to something great, and I want to be a part of that. I want to do something as we get ready to wrap up, as actually recognizing some new members today.